Welcome, everybody. The Amateur Fanboy Podcast coming at you with some breaking news. Dak Prescott is going to be a Cowboy for another 4 years. I say
possibly,
but at least another 4 years.
If he finishes out this contract, yes.
Oh, he will. The only way he doesn't is if some crazy injury happens, which it already happened. So hopefully that's out of the way now. Now he can just go ball out. But, man, I'm stoked. Mike called me. I was at work. Couldn't answer. Had to go on a break. After I went on break, I read his text, and sure enough, it got done. 4 years, $160 million, $125 million guaranteed. $65 million.
Do you want me to? I have all the details right here.
Yeah,
Mike. Dak Prescott and the Cowboys agreed to a 4-year, $160 million contract with $126 million guaranteed on March 8th, which is today. You're probably watching this on March 9th, but Prescott received $95 million fully guaranteed at signing. The full guarantee consists of Prescott's 2021 and 2022 base salaries, as well as $66 million signing bonus per Football Talk. The remaining $31 million becomes guaranteed on the fifth day of 2022 league year. Prescott has a no-trade clause and a no-tag clause in his contract. There are two voidable years at the end of the contract for proration purposes. Those 2 years void 2 days prior to the start of 2025 league year. So basically
a four-year deal.
It's a four-year deal, but it's pushed out in a five-year increment, basically. He's going to have $13 million, at the fifth year on the Cowboys cap space, even though he's going to be out of a contract.
If I'm getting this right, so basically – the fact that they turned that fifth year to kind of push some money, that's why his salary cap hit is only $22 million this year, right?
So in 2021, his cap is $22,200,000. Yes. 2022 is $33,200,000. 2023 mm-hmm. is $44,200,000. 2024 is $47,200,000. 2025 is not part of his contract year. It's a voidable year, but there's dead cap space of $13,200,000. That's basically how they got 2021 and 2022 so low.
Okay. Yep, that's what I thought. That's basically what I figured.
My assumption, look, this is, as of right now, this is just looking at the numbers, it's basically a two-year deal with, we'll see after that. For the Cowboys.
Yeah, that's fair.
There's dead cap space. I mean, they can get out of it as of 2022, but they'll have $39 million in dead cap. But if you've seen what Goff and what Wentz got traded for, it's now going to be probably a part of the NFL going forward. Just cutting the guy if they don't, you know, aren't worth the contract anymore.
Right. And obviously, as a Cowboys fan, I think that not only is he going to play out the contract, but he will be getting another one from the Cowboys as well at some point. I have faith in Dak. I think Dak he's basically the next Tony Romo. I hope for better, obviously, for a Super Bowl. But as far as longevity and a guy that they can be their quarterback for multiple years, I think that's what Dak is going to be. He's already been the quarterback for, 4 years now? Going his fifth year. So he'll be there for at least 9 years. Romo, I know, was there for almost 10. So I guess we'll see how.
I would say it's a we'll see. The Cowboys have really they can't have it out in 2023. More than likely, it'll be after that season they'd still have a high amount of dead cap. 2024. Here's my prediction. If he plays all right, pretty good, up till 2024 is when they'll probably think of either extending him or trying to move on. That would be my prediction.
And like I said, the only thing I'd be worried about right now, and I'm not too worried because, like, Mike Fish has an article out that says Dak's looking like he's going to be 100% by April. That's next month. That's not even training camp. So if everything checks out with his injury, unless some crazy injury happens, I think his play speaks for itself. I think that that he's only going to get better. I think he showed that in those four or five games he played last year that he's going to be a top five quarterback here. If he's not by the end of this year, he will be by the beginning of next year.
I will say I want to hesitate on any like I don't really expect him to be what he was the previous year, just coming out of the injury. Typically, it's about a year to, you know, get your feet back under you. I'm going to assume he's going to be rusty for half the season, and then by the other half, he will be looking more like Dak from last year or this previous season. It's just the nature of the injury. It's nothing to do with Dak. It takes a while to kind of just jump out of, you know, first you want to get hit, and then you got to want to play a couple games, get through the rust. Go for it.
Can I play a little devil's advocate? Okay, so then what is going to be your thoughts if Dak comes out next year and totally balls out from the start?
I would expect him to look like AP, like when AP tore his ACL at the end of the season, came back and made it. It's nothing to do with Dak. It's just more of the nature of the injury.
I was just bringing another point to the game.
Would it surprise me? Sure. But it's not, like, unusual. There has been players in the past who typically not a quarterback. It's typically, really athletic guys who just heal extremely fast like Adrian Peterson did. Like I said, I'm not expecting Dak to just come in and be a top five quarterback this season right off the start. More than likely, he will have some rust to come off the first few games and maybe take up till it just depends on when they're bye. You probably would hope to get a bye between week 6 and 8. Just to, you know, it's going to be a struggle at first, but luckily for him, he has the weapons. That's why I like this for Dak, because he gets his money. He can get rid of that conversation that has been constant with any time you talk about Cowboys. It's always, well, when are we going to sign Dak? What are we doing here? Are we franchising him? Are we going to let him walk? Are we going to talk about other quarterbacks? That conversation's gone now. Now it's, okay, Dak has to be healthy. He needs to try to get the rust off as soon as possible to help make a run. Look, end of the day, the NFC East is complete trash. I mean,
Which is a benefit
for the Cowboys, where they should make the playoffs this coming season if Dak is healthy and he can wipe out that rust quite quickly. I think that's the next part we're going to be talking about, is how's Dak going to look come week one? How's he going to look week three and stuff like that? So I'm just happy that this is done. And like Chase, I'm sure Chase will say this, that he's tired of this conversation and he's glad that Dak's paid and they don't have to worry about this anymore.
I'm not even Dak Prescott. I'm not even a member of the Cowboys front office, and a weight got lifted off my shoulders today. I don't have to talk about everyone. Like, I was just at the bar a couple weeks ago with my buddy who's a Texans fan. He's like talking about, they're going to do this with Dak and they're going to do this with Dak. I'm like, no, Dak's staying. They're paying Dak. Dak's going to get paid. He's like, Dak's not worth the money. They're paying Dak. That's it. End of story. I told him I bet him $100. He's like, no, I don't want to like that. Well, I would have made $100 because, they paid him. I told Mike it.
So
every chance I've got.
Let me actually give some update on this. So I don't know if you guys are avid listeners, which probably not. Chase predicted that Dak Prescott would sign his extension by March 9th, which is tomorrow, or whenever you're watching this, probably today. But if you don't know, right now it's about 11 o'clock at night, but. Chase predicted this, and it happened right. I'd give him credit. He predicted this to happen. He got the extension. Look, at the end of the day, the Cowboys paid up. Like, if they would have just extended him a year ago, two seasons ago, it would have been a lot cheaper. I mean, what was the price last year? It was about 35 million.
I think it was just 35, 36.
Beating Russell Wilson's contract, and he got about $5 million more per season. He got the most guarantees of any quarterback or any player in the NFL history.
Right, but I will just say, even though they still waited a couple years, and I still wish they would have signed him a year or two ago, This is not, don't hear what I'm not saying, but this deal with Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen and a few others, this deal will still end up being cheap, not maybe not cheap as it could have been, but a real bargain.
If we look about it, yeah, a year ago, when Russell signed and they were at, what, 35 in a year? Yeah. I'm assuming Lamar will probably get 42, 43 mil. If Josh Allen replicates another season, he'll probably be closer to Mahomes. I'm just fearful at some point that the Cowboys continue to give bad contracts out. And now you have a quarterback with a huge influx of money that you might be in cap hell in a season or two. Luckily for them, the way they built this contract out is that they're going to be able to not have to push or restructure anybody and push more money down the line, which is the best thing they could do. Because look, Jalen Smith's probably, if he doesn't show up, he's cut. Like, he's going to get cut after the season. Zeke, yeah. I think Zeke's gone after the season, regardless of what he does. You're gonna Amari. I don't know what Amari looks in a season or two.
The only person I'll agree with you on is Jalen. He's got to show up this year. But it's I told you on the same podcast I talked about Dak's deal. Zeke and Amari Cooper are part of this team for the next 3 to 4 years. They're not going in. Zeke would literally have to fall off a cliff. And just complete, like, as long as he's putting up 1,300 yards, they will not cut it. They will let the deal run out. They may not resign him afterwards, but he's not going anywhere. Dak and Zeke are at the hip.
The problem, well, look, end of the, look, Zeke, for me, he'd have to have an elite season for me to keep him with the numbers that are about to hit after the season.
And that's fine. That's for you. But for the Cowboys,
the Cowboys might be the same way, though. Playoffs. You got to think of it. If Pollard comes out and shows off that, you know what, we could put that 15, 16 million that we're going to pay Zeke this coming season to other positions if we have to, you know, move on. It's that option that I would rather move on. Look, if you're going to get rid of one position if you had to for a player who's, of course, he's still fairly young, but his price doesn't equate to what his production is for this team. If you can replicate that with other players who are cheaper with two guys, then that's what the Cowboys will end up doing.
I'm not saying they won't. I'm just telling you, expect Zeke to be a Cowboy for at least two more seasons. I don't think he's going anywhere after this year unless he gets hurt or completely falls off and Tony Pollard just absolutely blows everybody out the water. If Zeke is I wouldn't say from last year because most of that was with Andy Dalton at quarterback and Ben DiNucci. But I will say the 4 or 5 games he played with Dak, if he does that, he's not going anywhere for at least 2 years. And I don't know that I really want him to go anywhere for 2 years because I think that he makes Dak – as good as Dak is and has kind of become his own guy, he makes Dak better. And I just love their I'm more – sentimental to their relationship, so that's probably where I'm coming from, and you're not.
Yeah, I have no sentimental value in either way. I'm black and white with the Cowboys.
I would just love to see Dak and Zeke win a Super Bowl together. That's where I'm at. I want to see what Tony Romo and DeMarco Murray should have had in 2014, but you know,
well, Zeke's way better of a player than DeMarco Murray has ever been. Even though DeMarco Murray ran for 2,000 yards once, but
yeah, no, he's way better overall, consistency, doing everything. But like I said, I want the best team on the field. 100%, I want the best team on the field, and whatever that is, I'll let the Cowboys decide what that is. But at the end of the day, all I'm worried about right now is Dak Prescott is signed for the next 4 years, and the Cowboys can now go draft their best player available, trade down, draft the corner, do whatever they want to do. They can go and attack this draft any way they want. Now they don't have to worry about their quarterback.
Yeah, Dak, I mean, this is the best thing for the team. The distraction's completely gone at this point.
Yep.
And look, to be honest with you, I just did a mock draft the other day. If you haven't seen it on our YouTube channel, I ran through a whole 32 teams doing a mock draft. It was fun. Catch us out. Chase and I will actually be doing a lot of those lately. I actually have a cool little formula that I watched off of the Draft Network. They have a YouTube channel, which we will use, and it'll be a fun thing. But I had previously put you with drafting a corner because of what you've been saying. But I'm starting to just buy in that, look, I would prefer for them to get high valued a prospect who can play if he needs to from day one at the offensive tackle position. It's going to be a thing you're going to hate for me, but I just think, why not? Look, Dak just came off of an injury from an offensive line that fell apart. They need to protect him. I would say, why not get a guy like Slater who doesn't necessarily need to play tackle? He can play guard. He can play center. He can play any position on the offensive line. If you can get him, I say it's a win-win. Look, if you're going to pay Dak the money that you are, you need to at least make sure he can stand in that pocket and get the ball delivered down the field to an offensive receiving core that is one of the best in the league. So that's just me. If they draft corner, that's fine. I don't hate it, but I would like to just for them to get a player they can rely on from day one. Look, if you draft a guy in the second and third round, it doesn't necessarily mean that they will be productive this year. They might be productive in a season or two, or may not even be productive. That's the gamble of taking those tackles in the second and third round. I just think it would be beneficiary for Dak to be able to have at least not have to worry about the offensive line, not have to worry about getting hit. It's, you know, it is what it is. As long as they don't freaking draft a D end.
No. And that's to your point, because on my way home right now, I was listening to my boy Jeff Kavanaugh, my boy RJ Ochoa a little bit. And Jeff Kavanaugh wants his team trade down. I'm not saying that they need to trade down, but say there's a team that wants to get a quarterback top 10, he's there, maybe trade Lance or somehow Fields has dropped a little bit and they want to go up to 10 to get him. You get a second out of it. You go to 12, 13, you take maybe JC Horn's there, maybe Surtain or Farley's there. Maybe Slater's still there. You take one of those guys, you get another second, and then you can maybe take a corner or a tackle in the second. I don't think the Cowboys need I think their biggest need right now is corner and safety. I don't think tackle – as I know you talk about Tyron Smith's injury all the time, but I think Lael Collins will be back. He'll be better. Connor Williams is still there. I love what we saw out of Biotis this year. And they're gonna have depth on that tackle. They're going to have depth to where they do not need a guy that needs to step in right now,
so
which is why
for
I think
you,
corner
would you
is so
be
important.
Okay? Here's my question for you. Okay. Let's say Tyron Smith – gets injured week two, out for the season, or you know, okay. his you know how his injuries they always
scenario, but okay.
Are you okay with this offensive line without Tyron Smith for the entire season?
I mean, Andy Dalton was behind at quarterback, so I don't know how I feel 100% with Dak behind quarterback, but I watched Andy Dalton be pretty good, and he's not very mobile by any means, and Dak may struggle a little bit with his mobility to start. But I watched Andy Dalton be towards the end of the year, that offensive line gelled a little bit without Tyron Smith, without Zach Martin, with putting pieces together. I think as long as Zach Martin is there and Lyle Collins is there, Tyron Smith, you can figure out ways to make that line work. I'd be more concerned if Zach Martin and Lyle Collins and Tyron Smith are all not there next year. Then I would have some concerns.
This is my question for you, though. Tyron Smith is due $14 million this year, $15 million in 2022, in 2023 another $15. You're not paying him. If he's injured again, of course he's gone.
No, 100%. If he's injured again, he's gone. But I
don't think you can count on a second or third rounder to be able to just plug and play, or even the depth that you did have there. It's just to me – offensive tackle, look, same thing with corner. Because you draft a guy in the first round doesn't mean he's going to be productive year one. You did have production out of Diggs this past season. Don't get me wrong. But do you need a – I mean, to me, I don't see a difference. Of course, if you can get Farley or Surtain, but – even if you trade back and get Horn, he's not necessarily considered anything to be productive year one. Not necessarily. It takes
I'm actually riding the J.C. Horn train right now. I actually think he's
He just ran a 4.39 on from my understanding.
I've been watching some tape on him. I've been hearing some like my guy Jeff, who I just told you about, RJ, and some other Brian Broaddus talking. I think J.C. Horn could have the potential to be the best corner in this draft. But
it's a good corner draft. Don't get me wrong.
And I do understand what you're saying. And again, I already told you how I would feel about it. I wouldn't be mad at it, but the Cowboys seem like they're just so damn close to getting this defense right. I don't want to waste a top 10 pick when you can get a solid corner. He may not be Patrick Peterson pre-steroids or Nnamdi Asamoah in his prime right away, but if you get anything close to what you got out of Diggs in year one from the guy you drive, whether it's Surtain, Horn, or Farley, I mean, that defense is going to be so much better. And then there's plenty of safeties out there, one year deals, veteran safety you can get to fill that safety hole. I mean, the defense just has to be top 12, top 15, maybe even 18. I mean, the year we almost went to the Super Bowl with Tony Romo in 2014, we had the damn good offense with Dez and Terrence Williams and DeMarco Murray in his prime.
I just want to point out, the defense just needs to. You guys can sign a corner in free agency, but you can't sign offensive tackle to be a starter typically.
But that's assuming that the Cowboys want to spend money in free agency.
They don't even need to spend money though. Look, end of the day, there's going to be a surplus of guys who got cut. I'm just looking here. There's some big names, some good guys that are not necessarily going to get paid or probably going to end up being on a 1 year deal.
Okay.
That you can sign and you'd be happy with.
Mm-hmm.
And we can move on from this subject, but I just think it just makes sense to invest on the offensive tackle.
I don't think you can still draft
a corner in the second or third round. You could do both.
I very much don't disagree, and I would argue that the corners in the first round are better than the corners in the second round. But
of course,
I think that the offensive tackle in the first round, like you point to, may be more apt to start right away than you could start a corner in the second round if you needed to. With that tackle, you may not be able to. So I get what you're saying.
Yeah. I mean, it falls off quickly. You could even go and trade back and probably get Tucker from USC. He's very versatile as well. He can play any position on the offensive line. I mean, it just depends on what – if you guys want extra picks to plug some better depth on defense, go for it.
Last thing I want to say on this, like I said, I'm just glad that I can now talk about the draft and we can talk about corners and offensive tackle and protecting Dak now, because Dak's signed. So now we can start having these conversations. We up until a couple days ago when we did our last mock, there was still talk that maybe we take a quarterback, and you know, people were considering, you know, this and that. So it's just very nice to now be able to focus on really the three positions of need for this team, which is safety, corner, and offensive tackle, and maybe linebacker if you want to throw that in there.
And you probably put defensive tackle as well.
Defensive tackle, one or three tech, yeah. Probably one tech, I think, is what we need.
Look, end of the day, you don't care about the numbers because you just wanted them signed. But looking at the numbers, I mean, Jerry Jones had no choice. Well, if he wanted to re-sign him, he'd have to be in that 40 range.
You can ask any GM in the history of the NFL in the last 20 years what their biggest regret is when it comes. You could probably ask Dan Snyder with Kirk Cousins. Can you imagine if Kirk Cousins was quarterback of that team right now, how good they could have been this year? I mean, he was above average pretty well. That defense was elite. Can you imagine? It's just all it takes is messing up your franchise quarterback to send a team going down the wrong way.
The thing is, though, the future of the NFL is going to be based on young quarterbacks on rookie contracts.
Of course, you have a 100%.
Small window. Look, end of the day, it makes sense to build a team on a rookie quarterback
because
of the contract.
I'm not saying it doesn't, but quarterbacks with big money, and this is another thing that I heard from Jeff on my way here. I'm going off of Jeff a lot. Drew Brees, had multiple chances at a Super Bowl getting paid. Jimmy Garoppolo, one of the highest paid, almost won a Super Bowl. Matt Ryan, same thing. Like,
but I just want to let you know, Drew Brees had big cap numbers, which they had to – they had a – it took away from other positions.
And I understand that, but the other positions weren't the reason they lost. That super, well, didn't go
it wasn't Super Bowl. Drew Brees' fault that they lost.
No, it was the refs. But that's what I'm saying. That team was good. And that's what I'm saying. Like, it's a game of inches. And at the end of the day, all you want to do is put the best team together. And I think you start that
I mean, team what choice? What other choice did the Cowboys have, though? It's not like they had a top five pick that they can get a quarterback. Yeah, they could probably get Mac Jones, or they can possibly get Trey Lance or one of these quarterbacks falling if you wanted to move up. But end of the day, their best option was to, you know, see what they got with Dak again and give them the money.
And like
could
you
this
said,
blow up on their face? Yeah, they could probably if Dak is still, you know, if he isn't the same player post.
And like I said, that's very much a possibility, and it very well could happen. But I'm not willing to let that go until I see it.
I mean, the Cowboys had no choice.
Yeah.
I mean, they could have franchised him, but it was just going to make things even tougher.
He was going to get $5-6 million more a year on the open market anyway. So
I don't know. I think he was I don't know if he would have got more than what he got, to be honest.
Oh, he would have gotten probably maybe a little bit more, just because I think that was his rate to stay with Dallas. I think he would have needed a little bit more to leave. But
I just can't imagine.
Hold on.
Hold on.
But at the end of the day, I think that what would have happened is if he was to leave on the open market, just like Amari Cooper almost left with Washington, again, just he would need a little bit more guaranteed money. But it is what it is. It happened. Dak signed. We don't got to worry about it anymore. So I'm just happy.
Well, look, if you look at it in the next, you know, the next 4 years compared to the next 4 years on Patrick Mahomes' contract, I'm pretty sure Dak's getting more money than Mahomes.
That's
a long-term contract, which doesn't make any sense for Patrick Mahomes, because in a couple seasons, they're going to have to completely restructure because he's going to have such massive hits.
Yeah, I don't even want to think about what next year could be, whether he
– Not even for the Cowboys. The Cowboys are fine next year.
No, I know.
With $33 million, I think 33 or 34 is the cap hit.
No, 22.
No, next year.
What, for Dak?
Yeah.
Not you just said it was 22.
No, that's for this coming season. I'm talking about next season.
Oh, we're talking about the season after that. Okay, yeah, you said 33. Yeah, that's right. And then 40 and then 40-something else after that.
33 in 2022, 23 – in 2023, it's 44.
Okay, yeah. So, yeah, we'll cross that bridge when we come to it now. We can talk draft. We can talk free agency. We can talk about other things, because I'm ready to get started on the off season, because Dak is signed and Cowboys Nation is loving today. 100%. You are someone who roots for the Cowboys and you don't hate yourself or hate life or choose to hate every little thing, you are loving this right now. You are the happiest right now, because this is the best it gets. Locking down a franchise quarterback and knowing you're set at quarterback for another 3 to 4 years. Obviously, regarding play, we'll see what happens, but just on its face, there's 20 other teams that would kill to have this quarterback or franchise quarterback on their team right now.
I just want to point out the pressure is on Dak going forward.
Oh, and there's no denying it, but I've seen Dak under pressure, and Dak exceeds under pressure. Already in his career, he's exceeded under pressure. So I think people are going to be awfully shocked. I'm not going to be shocked. Maybe you may be a little shocked, but I'm not going to be shocked when Dak tears the league apart the next couple of years and puts up video game numbers. He is going to be, like I said, a top five quarterback by the end of this season. I promise you, top five. He will be the only Mahomes, Wilson, Watson, and maybe Rodgers if he's still playing.
Water bet?
Better quarterback than Dak.
Water bet?
Water bet? Let's do water bet.
Water bet.
Water bet. No, I get it. Top five, top six, you know, everyone's opinion is different, and I don't care what the haters want to say, they can go take themselves. They can go screw themselves with an iron stick. But
you said Niner stick. I was like, what the fuck?
An iron stick. You would want it to be a Niner stick. But no, he statistically, maybe not ranked by, I mean, people are going to rank people ahead of Dak, even if they don't deserve to be ranked ahead of Dak, because people just don't like Dak. And if you don't like Dak, I'm sorry, you don't like life, because Dak's a great person. He's a great quarterback. He's just a great all around dude. And if you have no dog in the fight, you should want to root for that guy. But that's beside the point. The point is, I think stats wise, he will be top five in the NFL in a year.
Well, he has the weapons for it, so
100%. I'm not saying he needs a bunch of weapons either, but it helps. He needs at least one good stud receiver, but he's got three right now. I mean, he's really got three excellent
potentially
receivers.
If they don't move somebody.
Well, I'm going to go back to what I from listening to Jeff's little 20-minute thing. This is probably Gallup's last season in a Cowboys uniform. Probably his last season, so. This will be the last year you'll have Gallup, Lamb, and
Cooper. It just depends. Look, end of the day, it depends on Amari. They have an option to get out of his contract after the season.
I just don't know why you would get out of – when Dak and Amari are both healthy, they ball. I don't
if he falls – I'm saying it all just depends on production.
It does. And I don't – and until I see Dak and Amari together and they're not producing, I'm not going to believe that it's not going to happen, because every time they're healthy and they're in the same lineup, they're balling together. Amari's catching 200 yards and three touchdowns. He's balling out. So,
hey, man.
Like I said, we'll see what happens.
Jerry Jones printing money like crazy.
Yeah, well, that's just like everyone else in government right now. So, you know.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you have no choice. You're stuck with Amari this season with $22 million. He has dead cap of 28. But next season, he has another $22 million. His dead cap's only $6 million. So.
I've already told you, Jalen Smith is the only guy I'm worried about. Of the guys that they've given money to, he's the only one I'm upset about. Zeke, I'm not upset about. I don't care what people say. Running back's replaceable, whatever. Zeke's an animal. When Zeke has a decent line to block for him, he is an animal. And every running back needs a decent line to block for him. See, what's his face last year or a couple years ago that averaged like a yard a carry because the offensive line was so damn terrible. So, you know, we'll see what happens.
Zeke's getting paid 13.7 million this season, and then next season it goes up to $16.5 million.
And I'm sure he's still one of the cheaper running backs that got paid right now.
No, he's the most. He has the biggest contract of all the running backs.
Oh, yeah, because
McCaffrey might have beat him.
I think McCaffrey beat him, and I think Gurley did. But no. Gurley is now out of his.
No, he had already passed Gurley. Gurley was at 14 a year.
Oh, he passed Gurley. Okay, then mm-hmm. McCaffrey did. And McCaffrey, I think there's one other running.
McCaffrey doesn't have a cap hit as high as Zeke. His is at 16.3, so right under Zeke's.
Okay, that's fair.
I mean,
but again, I love where our offense is at. I still think our offensive line will be fine. We can add a couple pieces that can swing tackle and stuff like that. But I don't think we need anything crazy. I mean, if we take an offensive tackle in the first round, great. But I think our offense is pretty much set.
Maybe I just want to point out.
What's up?
Kyle Pitts at tight end on the Cowboys.
See, now you can have some fun. Now you can maybe consider trading back for a couple for another second and taking Kyle Pitts and then taking a corner in the second.
What are you talking about? He's gonna, if he's there at 10, you'd take him. He's a top 10 pick. He's a top 5 pick.
I would take the chance if say Kyle Pitts, Surtain, Farley and Horn are all on your board and you're at 10 and you want to trade back to 13, 12, 14 and take whatever of those guys.
Well, it just depends on what quarterback's getting taken. Really, that's who's trading up, right? If Trey Lance falls or Fields or something like that, that's how they're moving down more than likely. I was watching a mock draft simulation through the draft network.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle Pitts at 2 to the Jets if they don't take quarterback.
I mean, I don't hate it. Give Darnold the weapon.
If they're gonna build around Him, I mean, you could do Pitts. Like I said, I think Pitts is the best player in the draft.
But I, if the Cowboys do trade back, the one candidate to trade up with us or trade up to our spot, can you guess?
Patriots.
No.
Who? You can say the Niners.
Oh, it's the Niners, 100%.
The Niners, if they're trading up for a quarterback, it's going to be like seven.
Most mock drafts I've seen have us trading back have us trading with the Niners. Most of them. I'm not saying that will happen.
If we're trading up, it's going to be logical. To like seven, in my opinion. And it'll
That they would only trade up to 10 if, say, Lance fell to
even at that, I would expect, knowing how my team overly moves up for players they love, they will move up and pay a handsome reward to get up to seven or six for a quarterback.
Would you call it a handsome reward or a hefty price?
No, a handsome reward, because it comes with Jimmy Garoppolo moving on from the team.
That's true. That's true. Anyway. Dak Prescott. Cheers, baby.
We'll end with that. And check us out on YouTube, as well as our podcast, Amateur Fanboy Podcast. We're also on Twitter, Amateur Fan Pod. I don't know if it's Amateur Fanboy Pod or Amateur Fan Pod. You'll see
right there. I think it's Amateur Fan Pod.
Whatever. But with that, we'll end it. Congratulations, Dak Prescott. You are one filthy rich animal. Enjoy. Don't get
and
on.
Don't win Jerry, us a Super Bowl.
Don't and get don't on. I just want to point out. Chase stated on one of our podcasts, if Dak Prescott did not get signed, that Jerry Jones is racist. And he got signed, so Jerry Jones, you're not a racist.
You're not a racist.
I didn't say that. That was Chase.
And you're also a smart man. A very, very smart man.
Well, he is rich, so.
He's a rich, smart man.
All right. Bye.